It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific, coast to coast and around the world.
I'm not a doctor, but I have a PhD in recognizing bullshit when I hear it.
From the America Out Loud Talk Radio Studios.
The American people are not feeling very loved right now, though. They're not feeling heard by the Biden administration.
It's time for The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
As we come back from the weekend, it's hard to believe that 4 months of this year, or one-third of this year, is already over. It is going by fast, but here we are to Monday, and welcome back. My name is Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us, as always. Whether you found us on a podcast or if you're listening live right now, thank you so much. This hour is brought to you by Gold Co. Just go to BookerLikesGold.com to find out more about buying precious metals, gold and silver. And you could get up to $10,000 in free silver. Just check out BookerLikesGold.com. There is a lot to get into with Matt Palumbo. Matt is the content director at the Bongino Report. He's also written several books. He comes on this program every Monday. I call it Mondays with Matt. And here he is. He's back with us, Matt Palumbo.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's get through a list. And, you know, last week we briefly touched on the college campuses and what's going on there with the Islamic jihadists. And, you know, I don't know that we really brushed it off, but I think both of us sort of said, well, it's a very small minority. And I still believe that. I don't think that's the majority of people on college campuses. However, I watched going into the weekend, Friday night, I saw you on Dagan and Duffy on Fox Business. And by the way, you looked good. You did a great job sitting on the stool there. And, you know, they finally got to a point that you and I talked about. I remembered when you guys were talking about it because let me tell everyone what you guys were talking about. You were talking about the organization of what we are witnessing on these college campuses. Where's the money coming from? Who is doing it? And I recalled you and I doing a show back in October, the week after Hamas invaded Israel, and we were talking about this very subject. And it has now taken 6 months for people to ask those questions that you and I addressed in October. And I found that interesting. But talk about what you guys were talking about there Friday night.
Well, we found, to the shock of exactly zero people, that George Soros is funding a lot of these groups. And I actually didn't see the story until after the show. I think it was actually on the way back, that there was one college campus where, of all the people arrested, the percent that were actually students or faculty was in the single digits, meaning, yes, there are absolutely student organizers who go to those schools and are being funded by Soros groups, but the people actually showing up, it seems, en masse are outside agitators. And there is an enormous amount of ideological overlap with, like, the Black Lives Matter people, with the Palestine people, all of these far-left causes. And it's like sort of like a cast of characters you can just kind of rally at the drop of a hat for whatever the cause of the day is, and this is what it is today. And I guess there's a silver lining there in that we were all saying, these student protesters, like, these people are spending $80,000 a year or whatever the heck college costs, and this is the, the results of all that. At least in this case, it doesn't seem to be that way. But listen, they are still, even if all the agitators aren't from those campuses, they are still hosting it.
Yes.
And, the overwhelming majority are doing nothing. I will say, though, I think it's great that in New York they're starting to clean these protests up. But you then have to ask the obvious question of, well, why wouldn't they let the police do this back in 2020? Because in terms of the amount of damage getting done, the Black Lives Matter riots were 100 times worse, and yet they didn't deploy the police then.
No.
And clearly deploying them is working where they're doing it. So it's just a reminder, a sad reminder, that things like, the crime crisis or looting or vandalism is absolutely a choice. And our leadership has decided those things are all okay. I guess to go slightly off topic a bit.
No, that's fine. And I wanted to go there where you just went with the way they are cleaning up in some areas. And last week, Speaker Mike Johnson and some other congressmen and women went to Columbia, where it doesn't really seem like the president of that university is really taking much action to clean up that mess. But you look at college campuses, Arizona State over the weekend, the cops went in there and just leveled people and got them out of there. Same thing in Georgia. We've seen video of state troopers tackling people on campuses and picking them up and pulling them out of there. Florida, University of Florida is another one. So it really depends on, I think, the ideology of the school in some ways, and whether those schools are, you know, beholden to a board of regents in a state that maybe is red or purple versus a private university in Columbia or Harvard or maybe even a place like NYU.
Oh, yeah. And you see that, too, not just with the campus protests. Like, if you looked at, you know, they for some reason, these people think that blocking a highway will bring people over to their side. And there's a lot of infuriating video out of our major cities of that. But when you looked at when they tried it in Texas or Florida, it was like 5 minutes. It was, all right, you know, time to get out of here, guys. People are getting arrested.
Yeah, so we're not doing that.
We're both saying, it is 100% a policy choice. If the right thing gets done or not. And it is sad to say that most of our universities are not doing the right thing. And you have to remember, too, and I don't know if this is funny or sad, but the kind of people who are taking the pro-Hamas side are the same leftists who were like trying to smear us as racists and anti-Semites during the Trump administration. And now these exact same people are going to bat for Hamas. So it's like there's like no rules to the game. They just kind of make it up as they go along in whatever way is damaging to us.
Yeah, the more hypocrisy they have, the better, it seems.
Correct.
Like. It just reeks of hypocrisy. Well, we've got new polling data that is coming out, national polling data. CNN and Fox both have new polls, and Donald Trump is leading in a national vote. Not that a national popular vote would necessarily matter, but it is an indication of things. When you put him in a race with Biden, he beats him head up. And then when you throw Kennedy into the mix, it grows to a 9% lead. It's like 42-33% Trump over Biden. I think Kennedy had about 16%. What are you reading into that?
Yeah, well, Trump leading the national vote is incredibly bullish because the Electoral College does help us, you know, overall in that. I think the stat is that a Democrat needs, it's either 1-2% more as a share of the national vote just to have like an even chance of beating a Republican. So if Trump is leading there, that is really good. And the thing we have to remember about these polls is if you look at, and I only think I know the stats for 2016, but it was that if you look up every major poll and average to get them what Trump's share of the national vote would be, they were off by about 4 percentage points, meaning if, you know, they estimated Trump at, I don't know, 50, then it would be 54. I don't remember the exact number. But you can basically add a margin of error of up to 4 points to any of these polls. So yeah. If Trump's leading Biden by 5, he actually might be leading by 9.
Yeah.
So this is all very good news for Trump. And we, you know, obviously there could always be an October surprise, but that really only applies to every candidate except Trump, because There is something about Trump where no matter what you throw at him, nothing changes in the polling. It only really ever goes up. I mean, what other president or candidate would be facing all these different trials and actually becoming more popular? So I think it's promising that the polling will at least remain constant. I have liberal friends saying things to me about how bad Biden is.
Yeah.
So if that's what they're admitting to me, and my friends don't like ever did the wrong to me, then I think that's very good news for Trump.
Well, I saw, it may have been the same poll, but maybe a different one, that the Biden is the least popular president in 70 years. I mean, he's least popular than Nixon, Carter. That's how bad he is.
And it is a disclaimer in that when they say 70 years, that's just because the history of modern polling on Gallup goes back 70 years.
Yeah, they were using an abacus.
If it went back 100 years, I'm sure it would have been worse than 100. But yeah, can't get worse than that.
Yeah, they were using an abacus back then.
Correct. For polling. Yeah.
So they don't count the abacus years. Yeah. Speaking of Donald Trump and court, you know, the court case was going last week with the Stormy Daniels stuff. And from everything that I'm hearing, there really just isn't a case here. The people that the prosecution has brought, one of them is Pecker, the guy that owned the National Enquirer. It seems like he was great for Donald Trump. And even Michael Avenatti is saying he wants to come testify for Trump. And it's just bizarre. Everything that I'm hearing, there is like no case on this. Is he going to be convicted? And if he is found guilty, does that even matter in the race?
No, well, the only risk is that it's New York, so it's, you know, the jury pool is tainted. So, if common sense prevails, he won't be convicted. But I would say, just because it's New York, a mistrial would probably be more likely than an exoneration or a conviction, just because there's always going to be one person who is really anti-Trump, who, even if everyone else decides, all right, Trump is all right, you know, right. Didn't do anything wrong, it's not going to matter. But to your point, the fact that Michael Avenatti would seemingly testify in defense of Trump when his whole thing was put Trump behind bars for his entire presidency, I would say means something. And I know his relationship with Stormy Daniels was obviously a bit strained, so he's kind of picking between two foes at this point. But still, it does say a lot. And it's one of those cases that's sort of in this category of who cares? And I don't know who actually does.
Well, and Michael Cohen is running his mouth, or he was. It seems like he sort of, during the week, last week, started being quiet. I don't know if an attorney got a hold of him. But, you know, his history is lying. And so are they going to put him on the stand? Yeah or no? Who knows? But that whole case is just a mess. It doesn't seem like the prosecution actually has anything. They just really threw it up against the wall.
And the thing you have to keep in mind, too, is like this alleged crime from Trump, I think we've known about this for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
So who else, you know, has the national presence of Donald Trump or even global presence, can commit a crime and then it's out in the open for 6 years and no one thinks to themselves, hey, we should probably prosecute that. But then the second they get an anti-Trump DA, then all of a sudden it happens. Like,
well, that's the key.
There's no other way to explain it. It's obviously politically targeted.
Correct. And that's the key, because the FEC had looked at it. The U.S. attorney had looked at it. The previous DA had looked at it, and they all passed. There's no way. And of course, the statute of limitations ran out on what was a misdemeanor, and now somehow they've created all these felonies out of it, which is a complete joke. Also, last week, the Supreme Court heard the immunity case. What did you make of that?
I heard some, like, Amy, I don't know, I heard statements from even some of the right-wing judges that were sort of, you know, playing to both sides, or I shouldn't say playing, like, we're challenging both sides. So I couldn't really make out exactly like where they were heading either way. I mean, I think the most fair thing would just be like every single trial gets postponed until after the election, because it's clearly election interference. But I know the Supreme Court can't do that, or it's not what the case is about. But I, you know, it's one of those things where I think Trump has immunity probably in most of the cases presidential, but even if there is some where he doesn't, you know, I'm not sure what the solution is. Is it we just make a big stink about how it's clearly politically motivated, or just can we? Is there really anyone more we can bring over on that talking point?
Yeah,
it is hard to say. I mean, I you know, to point out the obvious, I obviously hope they rule he has immunity, and I think if they don't, then you do sort of have to ask yourself, if you're running for president and you're going to be, you know, an outsider like Trump, the question of, once I'm out of here, am I spending the next 15 years of my life in a courtroom?
Yeah, defending and myself.
It's sort of like that with the Trump real estate case. It's like, well, every developer has to ask, all right, it's probably not going to happen to me, but if I say the wrong thing politically, I might get, you know, thrown in jail or fined massively because I said what I thought my house was worth. You know, that kind of thing.
As I was listening to the arguments and even the questions, you know, it came into my mind. It was like, I just always pretty much assumed that a president in an official act would have immunity. But if it's not an official act, then he wouldn't. And to me, it's pretty simple. And so, you know, it shows what an overreach that Jack Smith has done to end up at the Supreme Court arguing for this. And I think that's what it really shows more than anything. And I think ultimately that it's going to be probably sent back to the court to make the decision. I don't know that. And if it is made at the Supreme Court, it's probably 5-4 or 6-3. It will be conservative. So that's what I see happening. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, that's what I hope happens, I guess. But hopefully one of my predictions will be right for a change.
Well, yeah. you and Kilmeade then. We had the White House correspondents dinner, and I'm going to get into some of that later in this hour. But what did you make of it? There were some pretty funny lines, I thought.
It was so irrelevant. I'm learning about it for the first time from you. I did see the article about it. I honestly had no idea it happened, though, when I woke up and read about it. Biden tried to make some jokes about his age that I guess where he thought would be humanizing, but I don't know. It's like, it's not really something you can joke about when it's so obviously disqualifying. Like if Trump makes a joke about I don't know. I'm trying to think of something.
Yeah.
Like if Trump were to talk about, like, do a whole bit about how he's not braggadocious or anything, we'd all laugh along and be
right.
Like, all right. But it's also a quality that actually kind of helps him in his job, oddly enough. It's not something disqualifying like with Biden, where the guy, I'm sure you saw the story or discussed it earlier, where he now has a team of people walking with him to Air Force One or the helicopter because he walks so awkwardly they didn't want any more photos of it. So,
yeah, he is awkward.
You know, that's what we're dealing with. And, you know, he can joke about it and it's funny, but it's also reality.
Hey, speaking of helicopters in Air Force One or Helicopter One, whatever it is, what is that called, by the way, when he's on it?
Anyway,
the helicopter.
Man.
I don't know if you saw this, but I read this over the weekend and I had never seen this before, but there is a brand new, it was $5 billion approved and allocated for new helicopters for that. And they're unable to use them because they burn the lawn. Did you know that?
No, I didn't hear that at all.
I just came across that story over the weekend. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Great.
He still uses the old ones because it won't burn the lawn at the White House. $5 billion. We have helicopters sitting there, but they burn the grass, so we can't use them.
It's still better spent than the money we're sending to Ukraine somehow.
Yeah, I would rather have a helicopter sitting in a hangar than spend $60 billion in Ukraine. I agree. There was a bank failure last week. Republic Bank in Pennsylvania near you. What do you make of that? I kind of take it as good news.
Yeah, so all your audience is probably wondering why you're saying that. You know, last year there's a lot of high-profile bank failures like Silicon Valley Bank, and there's another one I'm drawing a blank on the name of, but they were the biggest since 2008 and obviously had, at least in the short term, some economic consequences, like regional banks as a whole kind of get hammered as a sector. But with this new bank failure, it was only about, I think, a $6 billion an
Correct.
Assets bank,
yeah.
And we're actually on pace to have fewer bank failures than the average in a year. I think we should have had one by like February or March if we were going to follow
typically
the historical trend.
Yeah, typically there's 4 to 5 a year.
Yeah,
and this was the first one, and that's why I said it was good news. It had $6 billion assets, $4 billion in deposits, and they were already taken over by another bank, regional bank in the area. And I believe they all opened on Monday morning. Some of them may have opened on Saturday. So there was very little disruption to the business of the bank. And that's why I think it was a pretty good news. I think the cost to the FDIC was about $600 million is what it will turn out being. So the big story over the weekend was Kristi Noem shooting her puppy Cricket. And, you know, I just stayed out of it. I just watched it because I don't think there's any way in the world anybody is going to win in this conversation.
No.
But what do you make? I think politically, I think she's trying to turn it around where it's a positive thing. And I think it's just not going to work.
No. Anything with animals getting harmed, it doesn't matter what the context is. It's not going to work. And the setting is out of the story. The fact that she decided to voluntarily offer this up just shows like a sort of hilarious lack of political instincts to even think this could have been a good idea. Like normally when you have a scandal, you usually, it's usually dug up by a journalist and not yourself.
Yeah.
Or, you know, created by yourself. So yeah, it just shows very, very poor political instincts. And it's a weird debate to get into. Like, I don't know how you defend the dog killing, but apparently some people on Twitter are.
They are. Some people are defending it, and, well, she lives on a ranch. Yeah, but it was an 18-month-old puppy, and there is a shelter somewhere around.
Right.
You know, give someone else a chance with the puppy to, you know, I've rescued dogs. I've taken a crazy one, and she's turned out pretty good, so it can happen. I'd think politically, she may have just stuck a fork in herself.
She ain't going to be VP now. And if she ever crosses Trump, the nickname is definitely going to have some dog themed thing into it, I'm sure.
But yet, it's somewhat disturbing that people will defend it. And, and at the same time, it's disturbing to see the people going after the people that are defending it. That is a microcosm sort of where we are. And it's time to turn the corner and start being one voice, one cohesive voice with a positive message. I think it's time to pivot to positivity.
Yeah, we're way too bogged down with or if I step back and say that I feel like a lot of the times we determine our opinions on things depending on the ideology of who's saying it.
Yeah.
And that if you were to give someone various political opinions but not tell them who said them, they're way more likely to at least listen to things they disagree with if they think it's coming from like a neutral source or something. But we are increasingly tribal and, the left's not wrong about everything, just 99.9%.
Right.
So, I think there is a lot of value in that 0.1% if we listen.
But, I was watching one of the weekend shows over the weekend. I saw Senator Chris Murphy. I don't get along with him. I don't think, there is nothing that he does that I'm probably going to agree with him, but I'm listening to him. I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense. He wants to get us back to knowing our neighbors like we should. Well, that's a great idea. Let's hear more about that. Tell me more about that, Senator Murphy. So you make a great point. All Republicans don't have all the ideas, and all the Democrat ideas aren't terrible. We need to figure out a way to find out where the solutions are and get working on them, I believe. Matt, thank you so much for coming here on Mondays. You add a lot to the program, and I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. Fiction becomes a religion. Places where nothing is clear. Sanity and reason just disappear.
Chairman, there are multiple members that could yield you time. I would ask that you...
I will have you physically removed from this meeting if you don't stop.
More truth in minutes on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients, Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Welcome back here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott. While you're here, make sure you go to AmericaOutloud.news. We would really appreciate it. You can find great content there from people like Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Harvey Risch, Dr. Paul Alexander, Attorney Tom Renz, Tony Schaefer, just to name a few. There are articles, there are additional podcasts that you don't hear right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. So check that out. And when you see something you like, we ask that you please share it. Share it with your friends, your neighbors, or share it on social media. That's even better. A lot of people are doing a lot of hard work to get this information to you. So please share it around. Right now, I want to take this show to a little bit different direction. A partner of mine on social media, Mike Engelman, is here. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Booker. Thanks for asking me to come on.
Yeah, and our history goes back a few years on social media, and specifically Spaces. The people listening to this program, they know what an X space is or a Twitter space. I have them every Wednesday night here on the program. And you and I started together as a partner on that over 3 years ago. It's hard to believe that it's been that long, but it has been. But we stopped doing them. I'm doing this show now, and you decided to do something, and that was take action. We sit around and we talk about things that we should do and could do, but you actually did it. And what Mike did was he kind of took a step back away from the things on social media and got involved in his community, which is something that we always preached about. And how important that really, really is. Because if you're going to take America back, you really have to do it neighborhood by neighborhood, neighbor by neighbor, community by community. And that's what Mike did in Indiana. And Mike, just share with everyone really your motivation for where that started. And then we'll take this conversation into what happened. You ran a race, and I don't want to give away the end of it yet, but start with your motivation. Why did you feel a need to get involved in your community?
Well, I've always been politically active, but not active as like physically active. I've been mentally active, engaged. But about 2.5 years ago, I was approached by two local county elected officials who sat on the county council, and they were like lone wolves in the wind on a 7-member council. They was always fighting against what they call the swamp. So they approached me about forming a group to challenge budgets and spending and different things of that nature. And so we did that. A group of us got together and we started attending the county council meetings and we challenged the budgets. We actually did remonstrance on those budgets. First time in county history it ever happened. And the first year we did it, we came a vote away from getting it stopped. Well, the next year they were more prepared for us, but it didn't change the dynamic, and they just basically thumbed it up at us. So that started me getting involved in local politics. And then after that, I started paying attention to what was going on in my own community's government, and I started attending those meetings and getting informed and engaged.
And you're talking about a city. When you talk about your own government, is that correct?
Yes. We're down of about 3,500 people.
Man, it's not big, but that's not the important part. The important part is getting involved and making a difference. And so now you decide to do that, and you decide to become a city council person, or you run the race for that. And then what was the makeup of that city council when you decided to do that? Was it, you mentioned the swamp. Well, it's funny that there can also be swamp in local politics, and sometimes it can be really, really bad. So what was the makeup in the city that you decided to become involved with?
Well, the previous city government, city council and mayor had been in office, basically controlling things for a minimum of 12 years at the mayor's office. It was 12 plus on the city council side. This community as part of this county has always been red, but at the same time, nobody ever ran red. It always ran Democrat. So they basically got away from their focus of what their mission was. And it turned into meetings, turned into circuses, finger pointing, arguing back and forth, nothing getting done. It was a joke. We were a laughing stock in southern Indiana. People was watching these meetings and laughing at us because it looked like a circus. So that was the makeup. Uneducated. I think they were uneducated people in these positions. They didn't care. They didn't care to be engaged on the issue. So that was first and foremost what we were dealing with.
And then you decided to run, and you didn't just run by yourself. You put together a group so that you guys could actually take over government there in your city.
Yes. The decision was made in January of 23. There was a person that actually had announced to run for the clerk treasurer's position first. She was serving in county government, and she announced that she was running as a Republican. And I told her that you're not going to be the only one running. I said, we're going to put a ticket together, and we're going to run on one mission, and that's to overhaul City Hall, basically was the slogan that we were using. And she said, well, Republicans can never win in LaGuardia, in our city. I said, that's because they never run. This year, we're going to field a ticket. So, yes, I did put together a ticket. I recruited three to four. We have five city council members, so I recruited three other people to myself and the mayor to run for mayor, who was a previous mayor, had been voted out 20 years ago. He came back and he was resurrected. So we ran as a group, as a ticket. We ran on our own message, but it was the same unified message. And we focused on three or four different things, and that was the message the entire campaign, and we just hammered it home and hammered it home.
What were the type of things that you guys concentrated on? What was that message?
Transparency, fiscal responsibility, full accountability. Those are the three things, all kind of bottlenecked together, and a unified government working together. We're not going to agree on everything, but we're going to find common ground to make it work. We won't be tabling issues after issues, month after month, getting nothing done. So we ran on transparency because there wasn't any. We ran on fiscal responsibility because there was none. They were spending $700,000 more a year for the last previous years than they took in, and we don't know where the money went. So we ran on that and those core principles and just hammered it home. And we took the message to the voters. We knocked on doors in the community. We ran social media and we ran print media. We had no local consultants. We did this on our own. We just got together, had meetings, decided how we was going to do it, knew what the hot buttons items were, and we just kept, we were the only ones doing anything. The other side did nothing. I don't know if they felt they was going to win easy because it was always a Democrat, but, you know, we made history in what we done.
Yeah, yeah, congratulations.
We made total history.
I'm really proud of you for what you did and what you're doing there, and leading by an example. I think that's so important. Everybody can run their mouth, but you actually put your mouth and your physical body to the test and came out with a success. Now, you mentioned five city council members. I think in our previous discussions that you and I have had on the phone, you said that one of those was an incumbent. I think that you brought along with you. Is that correct, or am I not remembering correctly?
That's correct. He has been on the city council for a number of years. Like I said, this old school thinking around here was you could never run as a Republican, so nobody ever would. They would run as a Democrat. He was a Democrat, but he was more Republican, more conservative, very, very old school Democrat, but very conservative, and all about transparency. He's a lot older than us. He's the senior, but he follows our lead. He's easy to work with. We're all friends here. So I've known him for years, you know, his kids, they're all adults now, and one of them actually works for the city and the school. So, yeah, and he was going to be hard to beat anyway. But we didn't recruit anybody to run against him in his seat. Matter of fact, I talked him into running to stay on the ticket because I was afraid if he didn't, there was going to be somebody else in that district that would run that I was scared to death of because this guy was far left as you can get.
Yeah.
And the last thing we needed was far left and far right, or there wasn't about, it would not have been a cohesive situation. So I approached him, asked him to run because he wasn't going to. He ran, he won, and he's working with us, and it's working out great. Our first 4 months in the office has been everything that we pledged it would be. We've been fully transparent. We've been fiscally responsible. We're laying out an agenda, what we're going to accomplish in a time frame. And the meetings are not chaos. We do not allow it.
What are the expectations of the people that live in the city? Are they being met, do you think, so far? Are they happy?
They seem to be. I hear a lot of positive feedback about how There's law and order at the meetings again. Things are being discussed that need to be discussed, focusing on the things that impact our community. And they see a take charge and a working together. So, yeah, so far, so good. And we're strategizing, laying out a plan, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 year plan. And, we're meeting with department heads, or at least the mayor is, every month or every 2 months. And we're just really, trying to stay engaged with the public. We're out there talking to people, listening to them. So far, we haven't upset anybody that to any degree that would reflect a negative, because we're focusing on the right things.
Now, you mentioned a $700,000 deficit 2 years in a row there. How are you addressing that? Where are you finding the money for that $700,000 times two?
That's what they had. They spent more than they took in, but they had some in the coffers. And the budget looks pretty good so far. There's edit money, there's local income tax money, there's distributions you get from the state and federal on different things. And we're just managing that to expectations. We're not overspending. Like, they were just spending money on crazy stuff. We're not doing that at all. All spending stops at the mayor's office through the council. That's the way it's supposed to be with the clerk treasurer. Everybody's working together. We're streamlining the spending. We have cut so much already in wasteful spending and prioritized it in other areas. It's just working. It really is working well. We got a clerk treasurer that is on board with us, fully transparent. She's got years of financial background, so she knows what she's doing. It's not people in blind positions trying to learn as they go. Yeah. She's got a handle on this, and that really is important.
It is important, and it's important what you did, too. And I don't know sometimes if people understand the importance of being involved, and I think we look at the shiny balls of national politics, but in reality, what you did and what you are doing is what makes this country go. And what would you tell people that are listening to this right now that are sitting and maybe they thought about doing something before, but they can't find the courage to do it or the reason? What would you tell them to motivate them?
Well, don't try to do it by yourself. What I did was connect with a few other people that were like-minded, started talking, started attending meetings, taking notes, learning what city government or county government is, how it operates. Educate yourself and inform yourself, then you're not so intimidated by it all, and it's not a big mountain to climb. And when you have a few other people that's willing to join forces with you, you're not working this thing alone. It's a lot easier. I mean, this campaign of a year ago, we worked hard, yes. We made history. We voted out an entire – we changed it from Democrat to red, but we did it as a group working together. It wasn't any of us working by ourselves. So the teamwork concept is what it's all about. Get three or four other people or five, decide to make change, be the change, focus on what is the hot button issues and go for it. And just don't look back and it'll be fine. As long as you believe in what you're standing up for, that's the other part of it.
There has to be that passion, and that's what you're speaking of. And Mike, your community there, is it reflective of the things that we see on television every night, or is it still good old America in Southern Indiana?
It's still good old America. It's pretty well isolated. We do not see at the local level what you see and hear and read about going on in other places around the country. Now, we do have just 45 minutes north, we have Indiana University, Bloomington, Indiana, which is a microcosm of what you see around the country, which a lot of that is going on up there. But it doesn't filter down into this area. They know this part of the country is not one you're going to come in and mess with. People won't tolerate it. We have law enforcement that won't tolerate it, and the people that live here won't tolerate it. So they will not come into this part. But yeah, it's still good old Mayberry.
It's a place where neighbors still know each other and can ask each other for a cup of sugar or an egg or something like that. And America was a great place when it was like that. Unfortunately, we watch so much national television and on social media, it can feel sometimes like, things are really bad, really bad. But in reality, when we get to our communities and we make our communities what we want them to be, we can still have a great America in our communities, can't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just stay focused and don't get disheartened. I tell people, turn off the mainstream and fake news media. Don't watch it. It'll discourage you, because that's what they try to do, is beat you down with this stuff. Stay away from it, because you're not being told the truth. It's all a big lie. There is information sources out there to get the truth. You just got to know where to find it. But it's certainly not on the mainstream.
No, and that's why we do this show, and it's called The Truth Be Told. Perfect. Mike, before you leave, I want to get your opinion. Christy Nome evidently shot her puppy Cricket some 20 years ago. What do you think about that? Is there a way to for her to ever come back on a national stage after that admission?
You know, I think the timing of this announcement of her memoirs of 20 years ago was interesting. And then, you know, there's all sides of it. But, yeah, I think it damages her, probably. But, you know, I don't know enough about it, and I didn't research it. No. I wasn't a fan of it. I don't know how you kill a dog. I don't care what the circumstances are.
Yeah, I asked Matt Palumbo the same thing a few minutes ago, and, you know, we were the same way. You know, it's an 18-month-old puppy. You can take it to a shelter somewhere and give someone else a shot, the dog whisperer, and see what happens. But again, I wasn't in her place 20 years ago, but I'm definitely not going to apologize for her for killing a puppy. Mike, I'm really proud of what you did. You're doing a great job, and thank you for doing it, and thank you for coming here, because I think people need to hear this. They need to understand the process, because sometimes it can feel overwhelming, and it doesn't have to be. You eat that elephant one bite at a time, and that's sort of what you did in your own community, isn't it?
It is, but I'll tell you what, there's a big component to this that nobody ever talks about, and that is your significant other.
Yeah,
you got to have your wife support, your spouse support her. You don't do it, because to be happy in the home life, you got to keep the wife happy. But my wife was always supportive. And we talked about it prior, and I asked for her blessing and permission, and she said fine. So otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. That's the truth.
Yeah,
I had
right.
A lot of people asking me about it, and I said, my wife's got to sign off on it first.
Yeah, because you spend a lot of hours that you weren't spending before doing something completely different, and of course, that can affect the relationship, and I'm glad she gave you her blessing. And you're a blessing to us, too. So thank you for coming. I really do appreciate it, Mike.
Well, thank you, Booker, for having me. We'll be talking again.
If you ask me, this whole world has gone to hell. I speak the truth, but these days the truth won't sell. I bleed red, white, and blue in my ways you just can't change. Wrong or right, I give my life for this place called USA.
More Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in a minute on America Out Loud.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutLoud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
$58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. and these great tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
I don't know if you've heard those commercials about Heal Right. That's that micronutrient bar that comes in four great flavors. And by the way, they all taste really, really good. You're going to think you're eating a candy bar when you eat them. Anyway, they help things like cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and maybe even a little bit with weight management. It's 15 years worth of studying to come up with this bar. 15 years of research, and it's 100% money-back guarantee. You can go to HealRight.com to find out more about that, or you can just go in AmericaOutloud.news in the shop, and when you do, use the promo code OUTLOUD, either one of those places, whether you go to HealRight.com or if you go to AmericaOutloud.news, just use the promo code OUTLOUD. My name is Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us here. You heard me mention there to Matt Palumbo in the first segment of this hour about the White House Correspondents' Dinner that took place on Saturday night. And it has become pretty much a roast. I guess it's always been a roast of the president and the former president. And there were some pretty good lines, and I'm going to share some of those with you right now as we get into this last segment for this hour. The host of this was Colin Jost, and he does a nightly show, and one that I've actually never watched. I don't know who the guy is, but he did have some pretty funny lines, and let's listen to some of this.
Before I begin tonight, can we just acknowledge how refreshing it is to see a president of the United States at an event that doesn't begin with a bailiff saying, "All rise."
Pretty good line. That was a good line. You got to get it to it. It's a roast.
And I would like to point out, it's after 10 p.m. Sleepy Joe is still awake.
And that was a good line from Colin Jost there, that Sleepy Joe is still awake. And every once in a while, there is a lot of truth when it comes to comedy. You can get some things over in jokes that maybe you can't when you're being all serious. And Colin Jost did that with this line, and this is dead straight on. But listen to the crowd and how quiet they were. It's almost like they acknowledge the fact, oh, this is true. He shouldn't have said that.
I was excited to be up here on stage with President Biden tonight, mostly to see if I could figure out where Obama was pulling the strings from. I have I have to admit, it's not easy following President Biden. I mean, it's not always easy following what he's saying. Like,
and so many of us, me included, think that 2024 is the most important election in America's history, especially in swing states. And if things don't go the way that I hope they do, we could lose this country forever. That's the pressure that's being put on swing states. So here is Colin Jost again with one more I'm going to play for you here.
And I am honored to be here hosting what is, according to swing state polls, the final White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Okay, that's pretty funny. And then he has one more on this one, and he's going to be looking at Biden.
Tonight will be a night to remember for most of us.
And he's now looking at President Joe Biden as he says that line. That's a good line. But Joe Biden also spoke at this. Here is President Joe Biden from the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Donald's had a few tough days lately. You might call it stormy weather. What the hell? Age is the only thing we have in common. My vice president actually endorses me.
So there are a couple of cute little digs there by Joe Biden against Donald Trump. And, you know, the Stormy Daniels thing, the people in the room didn't know how to take that when he said the stormy weather. And, you know, the last one, too, was a dig at Mike Pence. And I have my own thoughts about Mike Pence. I don't know how you feel about him, but maybe the fly was the best part of him when it landed on him in that debate. Do you remember that? Well, I'm going to get serious now because I came across this story over the weekend, and I think, you know, this is something that's going to have to be investigated by Congress at some point. And this is just coming to light. This information was just unsealed. And it's a story about the Navy investigating more than 100 secretly shot videos, sexual videos. And this took place in Guam at the Navy base. The Navy is investigating how someone managed to upload more than 100 non-consensual sexual videos of service members from ships, of all places, and also facilities at the service base in Guam. And this happened several years ago, and it was only recently unsealed from court documents. Now, this is being reported on by military.com, and the writer of this is Constantine Torpin, who is a former Navy officer himself, and he is writing on that. So, again, this is going to be a story that we're going to have to keep an eye on and see what happens to it in Congress. News Nation also had a story on this. I'm going to kind of read this from News Nation's story. It says that videos were uploaded by an account with the username PlayGuy148 and appeared to have been shot in the men's restroom of the Liberty Center aboard Naval Base Guam and other Navy vessels. That's what's in the court's records. Many of the videos, which included audio, appeared to depict various U.S. military members masturbating in bathroom stalls to pornographic materials viewed on electronic devices. That's what was in the warrant. The videos were filmed either above, below, or through holes in the wall of bathroom stalls, and investigators were able to determine that two primary Guam-based United States Naval commands contained the greatest number of identifiable victims, and those two were the USS Emery S. Land and the USS Frank Cable. Both the Land and Cable have mixed gender crews of about 900 sailors and 150 civilians. The Office of the United States Attorney did not immediately return a request for any comment to News Nation. And like I said, we'll just have to keep an eye on this. There should be some congressional hearings and investigations going on about this. This is our Navy and our military, and the people should hold them accountable. You know, President Biden's younger brother, Jim Biden, now he's allegedly worked with the Qatari government officials as part of an effort to raise money for his healthcare ventures in the United States. And this is according to bombshell testimony provided by former business partner of Jim Biden himself. His name is Michael Lewitt. And he was a former partner with Jim Biden, and he testified that two companies that facilitated the efforts were partly owned by members of the Qatari government. One company named in the testimony was directly partnered with Jim Biden as part of fundraising efforts that spanned several years. The second company provided financial backing for a series of loans that a now bankrupt hospital chain paid Jim Biden to arrange. And that's all according to documents and testimony provided by Lewitt, this whistleblower or former partner, as part of a federal bankruptcy proceeding. So that information just came out last week. So what's going to happen with it? It's another Biden crime family. Well, nothing's going to happen, just like the rest of it. Mayorkas doesn't get impeached. Hunter Biden can do whatever he wants to on his laptop. He can have a gun. He can throw it in a dumpster. Joe Biden can do whatever he wants, and there is no accountability for anything going on there. Meanwhile, President Trump, former President Donald Trump, is in court every day. That is our America, and we have to take it back. And our opportunity is coming up in 2024, right here in just a few months, 6 months away now. It's coming up November 5th. You heard from my friend and partner there, Mike Engelman, and what he did to get busy and get active and to make a difference in his own community. And everybody really has to do their part at this point. I encourage you to get busy. Make a difference in your community, in your neighborhood. It's so important to do that. My name is Booker Scott, and this has been The Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for being the best part of America Out Loud Talk Radio. Unleash the Political News Hour. It's on the way. And don't forget, you were told 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth. And salt without flavor, it has no value at all. So whatever you do, keep being salty. Have a great night.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.